been blessed with the melodic voice that I have. Even when you lose your voice, you still have a couple of ranges left, and fortunately, the one that I'll be using today, I think I'll be okay. Also, I do IT, but for whatever reason, I was talking to someone about this earlier. Whenever I speak, I rarely ever use technology, like the microphone and the slides and stuff. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to do it this week. And I was talking to Jonathan. I'm like, I'm going to get you the slides. And then I said, you know what, maybe I'm going to scrap it. And then I started losing my voice. And I said, man, now I got to use the microphone. I may as well do the slides. And it was interesting because I was thinking kind of almost in a self-conscious way about my voice and being able to be heard. And it never fails. My son comes up to me and he says, Daddy, I want to give you a hug. I just want to give you a hug. And that just encouraged me. That just really lifted my spirit. So I want to thank everybody for being here. And I want to start by asking a question. The question is, why are you here today? Now, a little side note, because it's Celebration Sunday, I typically stand in the back if I'm counting or something, and I can always smell the food, you know. And typically when you're downstairs, you know, you can tell who made what is always that one dish. I know this casserole, that is a Jennifer Huffman casserole, you know. And there's certain dishes, I know who they are, and I can even smell certain stuff at this point, like Wednesday nights when we have our Bible studies. And lovingly, I always joke with my friend Miss Juanita, because we know when Miss Juanita's there, if we smell the lightly burnt biscuits in the bread. See, Pat knows, she's laughing. And it's funny because now Jalen has taken it upon herself to be the bread timer. But when we get together for our celebration Sundays and when we have our meals and things like that, I always find it to be very encouraging. And what I want to do today is take a bit of a step away from what Jonathan and Ben have been preaching and talking about, the parables. We're going to still look at the gospel. We're going to focus on the gospel of John and one particular story about Jesus and this man, and we're going to look at that in just a second. But when I ask the question, why are you here, I don't mean it in a very broad sense of like, why are you existing on the earth right now, but more so, why are you actually here today? Some people might be here because this is where you come every Sunday morning. And this is where you've been coming every Sunday morning for a very long time. Some of us may be here because we were invited here. You know, a friend talked to us or somebody said, hey, why don't you come out? Some of us might not even really know why we're here. Some of us may be here because our wife or our husband or our child put us in the car and drove us here. Whatever it is, I want you to think, why are you here this Sunday? Why are you here any Sunday? Why do we go to church at any point? Our congregation here is obviously going through several different types of transitions. You know, recently we've installed deacons and elders and things like that. And we've also recently heard from Jonathan that he and Becca and Trooper are going to be leaving shortly. And so as a church, I want us to really consider why we're here in the context of what we're about to read in the book of John. Now, as I was preparing to speak today, one of the things that came up in my consciousness was I was walking out, I believe it was Wednesday, I was leaving that morning, and when I'm working, I do IT and I work from home most of the time, doing remote support. And as I'm leaving this particular morning, it was after Super Tuesday, and anybody knows, if you're watching the news at any point, I don't care if you're McDonald's and it's on, whatever, you're going to see Donald Trump. You're going to see the presidential politics and the whole horse race and all the delegates and everything. And anybody who's familiar with it knows that Donald Trump has his slogan called Making America Great Again. Now, that's not something that's news to anybody really here. But what I found fascinating was when I was leaving the other day, Hillary Clinton, they had kind of switched over, and Hillary Clinton was talking, and she was doing her stump speech and whatever. And something she said stuck out to me. She said, my opponent on the other side of the aisle is talking about making America great again, but America never stopped being great. America's always been great, but America just needs to be made whole. She said the partisan divide, the politics of everything, and how people are ginning up race and xenophobia and all these different things that divide us, that's what's wrong with America. America's still great, but it needs to be made whole. And it's interesting because I have two Bibles up here. And the reason why I have that will make sense here in just a second. Now, typically when I'm trying to do a sermon or a lesson, I try to come up with a title for it, and I couldn't really decide, so I came up with two: Helping Hands or Go Take a Walk. So what I want us to do right now, if you can, if you have a Bible, I'll put it up here on the screen. As we ask ourselves the question, why are we here? I want us to look in John chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 1 through 10. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool where the Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here's a great number of disabled people used to lie: the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Now I want to stop right there because there's a couple of things I want to pick out of this particular portion of the scripture. The first thing, how many people in here have a different translation than the NIV that I just read out of? Who's reading out of maybe the King James or something like that? Okay. Now, growing up until I was about 9 or 10 years old, the way that my mother taught me to read the Bible, she taught me from the King James. Now, there's two things that's very interesting. If you notice, verse 4 is missing in the NIV. Now, if you have an NIV Bible, you would notice that there's a footnote probably in your Bible. Or if you go to the King James, I'm going to read this, verse 4 is included. Now, I'll explain to you why in just a second. Verse 4 says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So what you had here, you had people that gathered around this pool. Now, this pool, actually, they believed that an angel would come along and stir the water up, and there was some type of power or force in this pool, in this water. And the first person who would rush into this water would be healed of whatever their infirmity was. Now, if you actually go back and look at it, there was actually nothing necessarily or specifically special about this pool except the fact that there was where it was placed, it would occasionally get a stirring of the water, almost like steam would come up from the bottom and it would start bubbling. But the way the mind works and the way people are, they placed a special value on this and people actually got healed. They had in their mind placed faith in this pool of water. It's kind of like how some people have, some churches and churches, they have holy water. I mean, it's drinking water to us if we don't believe that it's holy water. Or, you know, people might anoint with oil. Well, you know, I might fry chicken in it. The fact is, if I have not placed faith in that thing, it may be nothing to me. And see, one of the things that happens if we're not careful is we think, like many of these people, that these four walls, this church or this organization, this building, that there's something special about it. It is special in its own way, but when it comes to faith, there's so much more to a church than just showing up here on Sunday or just showing up here on Wednesday. Now, I want to continue, and we'll come back to that in just a second because there's also something very important. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. I'm going to pause right there for a second. In fact, I'm going to go back. You see right there highlighted in yellow where it says, do you want to get well? And I mentioned to you how when I was younger, I've read this scripture many times, but it was in the King James. And in the King James, what it says is, wilt thou be made whole? Now, there's no particular special differentiation between being made well and being made whole, but it does add context. One of the things that I really appreciate is when we go through on Sunday mornings in Sunday school, and Jonathan, as he will explain certain things, there's a very high appreciation for understanding how translations work. And the real simple reason why verse 4 was actually taken out of the original, like the King James and some of the older ones, is because the people who translate the Bible, they translate it from the original documents, they learn the language and they read it and they try to translate it into something that we who speak English or Spanish or something like that can understand. And so they have to replace words, they have to do these things to make it make sense to us. And generally speaking, they do the best they can. Now what happened in the King James was, the King James was written back in the 1600s, I think it was 1611 or something like that. So the King James was actually written at one point. Well, later on they found other documents that were more reliable, they were easier to read. And so what happened was, and I'm sure there was no ill intent on this, but verse 4 was probably included in some of the older ones to try to explain how people were placing faith in this pool, how people would do this on a regular basis. And so we see that this man who had been an invalid, who had been weak, who was not whole, he could not take care of himself. He could not get himself to the water. He had been coming here for 38 years. Now, I'm 40 years old. Okay, 38 years is a super long time to me. It's a long time to constantly go after something, to constantly chase something down, to constantly be hoping and wishing that I could get to something that was going to fix me. And a lot of people, and even some people in here, may be familiar with being in that place. We come to church week after week after week after week, month after month, year after year. And just like this man says here, I have no one to help me into the pool where the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. I'm sure that was very true. That man was probably alone. He probably had no one to help him. And he wanted to get well. But Jesus asked him, will thou be made whole? Do you want to get well? Because in order for us to grow spiritually, in order for us to be more than just a building, in order for us to just be a place of meeting, we first, as individuals, and then collectively, we have to want to be whole. We have to want to be better. We have to want to get well. And so we see here, Jesus tells him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. It's a decision. It starts with a decision. And for some of us, we might be thinking, well, yeah, I want to pick up my mat and walk. Yeah, I want to be well. Yes, I want to be made whole. But what does that even look like? What does that look like for you? Being well being made whole could be there's something in your life you have to give up as a sacrifice. Maybe it's a distraction from what it is that God could use you to be doing, but it's keeping you away from it. Maybe it's sin in your life. Maybe it's something, and it could be something that has been plaguing you and dogging you for years. And you have to make a decision that, you know what? I want to be made well. I want to be made whole. Well, am I actually willing to give it up? Do I want to give it up? I struggle with alcoholism. I struggle with my sexual impurity. I struggle with drugs. Maybe I have a gambling addiction. Or maybe I'm bitter. Maybe my husband, if he would just be a better husband and a better father, if my son would just apologize to me, if Jonathan would speak and preach a better sermon on Sunday, if Bill would get up there and sing the song like the notes say. Whatever it is, we place the responsibility of our personal relationship with God on someone else. Like this man here, he said, I have no one to help me. He is placing the responsibility there. And Jesus says, no, get up and walk. Because we're all humans. We're all going to fail. We're all going to have shortcomings. We're all going to make mistakes. Things are always going to happen. But it's not for me to be the perfect husband before my wife can say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to share my faith with others, and I'm going to love my neighbors, I'm going to love my enemies. It is incumbent upon me to get up and walk. As a church, it is incumbent upon us to get up and walk. Rodney Village around here, all of our neighbors throughout Central Delaware, the people on base, our light has to shine, but we have to decide to get up and walk. Let's finish up, reading here. It said, and this is important, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but it said, the day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, is it the Sabbath? The law forbid you to carry your mat. This is another danger. Caution that we have to prepare ourselves for, that we have to be guarded against. Because a lot of times, and it was interesting because this wasn't coordinated, but a lot of what Jonathan was speaking about this morning in Sunday school about the way in which we approach the church, the way we approach our personal ministry, it can be so easy to slip into a legalistic thing where it matters more to us that the person is following a set of rules that we have adopted than seeing them made well. Now imagine this man who's been here for 38 years, struggling to get down to the side of this pool for 38 years, and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, why are you carrying your mat? Are you crazy? This man has been here for 38 years. Jesus healed him. He's been delivered. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can be blinded by the opportunity to help someone else find a relationship with God because we place some type of parameters on what they should be doing, or they're not ready yet, or I don't personally feel like I can relate to them because they're doing something different. They're too young, and they won't listen to me or whatever. And so we place these binders, these blinders, these things that restrict us, and we can't even see when Jesus is presenting an opportunity, just like the Pharisees. But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" We must walk not only because we're grateful, not only because we've been made well, but because we have been given the authority to do it. Pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up and walk?" The man who healed him had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. It is important for us to really get a hold of this and understand that in order for us to not only take up our mat and walk, but to actually go out and be the disciples that God wants us to be in his son's image, we have to understand that we cannot continue sinning. And whatever that is, again, it could just be that, I don't know, I'm mad at Tom. And I've been mad at Tom for 5 years, and I'm not mad at Tom. He's just the first face I saw. But if I was mad at Tom, and I'm holding on to this grudge, that is what prevents me from being pleasing in God's sight. That, because I may be like, hey, you know what? I don't sin in this way, and it's not this overt thing that everybody knows. But it could be something as simple as, I haven't forgiven this person. Now, I'm going to put somebody on the spot here. But a couple years ago, I was going over to Lee's house because she was having these internet problems and these phone problems. And this actually went on for a very, very, very long time. And the reason why it was going on was because of a couple of things that frankly had nothing to do with me. It was mostly some of the restrictions. And I bring that up because what was happening was this. I do IT, as I mentioned before. And so I literally build networks. I install phone systems. That's one of the things that my company does. And so to come in and change somebody's internet over and just move their phone line or move their internet connection over from their computer is actually really small for me. And it's funny because I'm looking back here and Darlene, she's looking at me because I'm supposed to be there wireless too. But the point was that this whole time, it was like, hey, can you help her out? And I said, okay, yeah, I'll help her out. And I went over there, and I had to go back and get something. We had to do something. We were trying to figure out the carriers. But what was happening underneath the surface was, if anybody's never been to my house doesn't know this, I do my own market research and my own testing of products and things like that. So I have televisions, gadgets, tablets. I've got internet on my phone. My wife has internet on her phone. You've seen my kids running around. They got tablets. That we just have electronics everywhere because that's what I do. But Lee, she just simple, wanted her computer. She wanted to downgrade, save some money, and be able to have internet. And so when I didn't call back, when I said I was going to call back, it was a, oh, you know what? My bad. I'm sorry. My mistake. It wasn't that big a deal to me. But it was huge to her. And I mean, not huge like she was, you know, super angry or nothing. I don't want to make it sound like that. But I remember going over to Lee's house when we finally kind of got it figured out. And she explained to me that what mattered to her was the fact that I should have just called ahead of time. Like, not even way ahead of time. Just let me know, because I'm not like you. I can't just be running around and burning my gas up and going places, and then you're not here, and then I don't have it like that. And we sat there and we talked, and she shared her life with me. She was just telling me different stuff. It was interesting because I found out that she's roughly the same age as my dad, and she was just sharing me some of her experiences. And I'm like, you sound just like my parents, you know? But the thing is, I bring that story up because as a church, as a member of God's family, as a body of believers, we have to take care of one another better. We have to see that as part of our duty and taking responsibility, not only for our personal lives spiritually, but also for the lives of others. It's not good enough to just come to the building and hope that you're going to be inspired, or hope that maybe something's going to drop out of Ben or Jonathan's mouth or something and it's going to move you. Jesus gives us all the ability to stand up and walk if we have faith in him. And as I close here, because I promised I would make it brief, the reason why I asked in the very beginning, why are we here today, is because I really want us to consider, as we're going through this transition, as we're going through changes, as we're going to be finding a new preacher, and there's going to be people that are going to be coming, there's going to be people that are going to be going. Dover is actually a very transient town. You have a lot of military people. But I want us to really consider, why do we come here? Do we come here because of something we're used to? Do we come here because we know we should? Do we come here because, well, this is where my husband or this is where my wife has chosen to worship, so I'm going to go with them? Or are we here to actually build up God's kingdom? Are we actually here because we want to take part and do our part in doing the work of the Lord? For some of us, picking up our mat again could just be, you know what? I need to, in my faith, be restored. Maybe I need the church to pray for me because I need my faith to be restored. I've been stuck in something. I've been mired in something that has been holding me back from doing the work of the Lord for weeks or months, and in some cases even years. 38 years seems like a long time unless you've been in it, unless you've been stuck in it. Maybe you need to get up and walk today. Maybe you don't know what it is. This faith I'm talking about in Jesus, maybe you don't know what it is to actually have a relationship with God, a true relationship with God. Maybe you don't know. That's okay, because it does not prevent you from finding out, and it does not prevent you from standing up and walking. Whatever it is, maybe it is you need to sacrifice more. Maybe you need to give more. Maybe you need to simply just pray more. Whatever that is for you, you need to stand up and walk. If you feel like you want to find out more and you want to know what this faith is and you want to be able to stand up and walk and have your own relationship with God, do not have any hesitation. You come forward when we sing the song of invitation. Maybe you want to step in the back and talk in private to one of the elders. Maybe you know in your heart that for years, maybe even 38 years, maybe there's something that's holding you back. It could be anything. Do not walk out of here. Do not leave and walk out of those doors without taking the opportunity to ask the church to pray for you, to come forward. Like I said, step out back and talk to one of the elders and ask for the prayers of the church. Ask for somebody to intervene on your behalf. Ask for some help. Whatever it is, we all, as we prepare to go downstairs and have a great meal and talk as a church about what we're going to do, we all need to have the conviction that we are going to stand up and walk. Who wants to stand up and walk? Who wants to be made whole in here? Please stand and sing as we sing our song of invitation.